We are continuing Chapter 22, The Guest of Honor. With the business of the Edison Medal over, Tesla entrained for Chicago and devoted the remainder of the year to efforts to develop a variety of inventions, not only in America, but in Mexico. Thus, he hoped to make up for his wartime losses of European royalties. The previous year, a trial balance of the Nikola Tesla Company had shown capital stock worth $500,000, laboratory expenses of $45,000, and patent expenses of $18,938. Sheriff, preparing his tax returns on a weekend, reminded the inventor that the government could now fine him $10,000 for failure to file. If there was a net profit that year, Sheriff failed to mention it in his letter. From his headquarters at the Blackstone Hotel, Tesla went to work, offering not merely his inventions, but himself as a consultant. A major offering was his bladeless fluid turbo generator for lighting systems, small, simple, and unusually efficient. As the prospectus stated, an apparatus of overwhelming superiority. He had licensed his automobile speedometer to the Waltham Watch Company, only to see auto manufacturing halted by the war. Nevertheless, during 1917, he had an income of $17,000 in speedometer and locomotive headlight royalties. He struggled over a report for the National Committee for Aeronautics, hoping to supply the government with a small aircraft motor, one-fifth the weight of the Liberty motor then used. An exchange of correspondence with NACA, the predecessor of NASA, failed to result in a contract. To Scherf, when he could spare a few moments from arduous days, he scribbled that his research on a new wireless transmitter that would render messages absolutely secret, quote, will secure for the U.S. an overwhelming advantage in the great conflict as well as in peace, unquote. At the same time, he was promoting the Tesla Nitrates Company, the Tesla Electrotherapeutic Company, and the Tesla Propulsion Company. The former, based on an electrical process for making fertilizer from nitrates, nitric acid, from nitrates captured from the air, which he had alluded to in the Century Magazine article of 1900, proved to be economically impractical. Determined to escape from debt, he also maintained at long distance a laboratory for turbine work at Bridgeport, Connecticut. There he had contracted as well with the American and British Manufacturing Company to erect two wireless stations. Unfortunately, these Wardenclyffe-type enterprises failed for lack of adequate capital. No one could any longer claim that Tesla was not commercializing. He made money on some of these enterprises, not spectacular amounts, but enough to begin paying off his debts to Scherf and to keep a staff. To Johnson, now harried by creditors, he wrote, "Write your splendid poetry in serenity. I will do away with all your worries. Your talent cannot be turned into money, thanks to the lack of discernment of the people of this country, but mine is one that can be turned into carloads of gold. I am doing this now." Unquote. Johnson became ill. He wrote to remind Tesla of an old debt of $2,000. And the inventor at once sent a check for $500. 2 weeks later, Robert wrote again that he needed funds, this time for taxes, and Tesla sent another $500. Before the year was out, Robert sent an SOS saying that he had only $19.41 in his bank account, with outstanding debts of $1,500. Once again, Tesla reached for his checkbook. In his desk in New York lay a letter, some years old, from Katherine Johnson, one of the last that was kept, or perhaps written by her, to her ever-silent friend, quoting her. She had gone to Maine without her children or husband for part of the summer. She writes, "I came here a month ago quite alone to this hotel full but empty for me, since it is a strange world. Here I am as detached as if nothing belonged to me but memory. At times I'm filled with sadness and long for that which is not, just as intensely as I did when a young girl, and I listened to the waves of the sea, which is still unknown and still beating about me. And you, what are you doing? I wish I could have news of you, my ever dear and ever silent friend, be it good or bad. But if you will not send me a line, then send me a thought, and it will be received by a finely tuned instrument. I do not know why I am so sad, but I feel as if everything in life had slipped from me. Perhaps I'm too much alone and only need companionship. I think I would be happier if I knew something about you. You who are unconscious of everything but your work and who have no human needs. This is not what I want to say, and so I am faithfully yours, K.J." Unquote. She added a postscript. "Do you remember the gold dollar that passed between you and Robert? I'm wearing it this summer as a talisman for all of us." Unquote. Money? Good fortune? A return to the happiness and excitement of earlier days? Would it be a talisman for the trio that had shared so much? And that concludes Chapter 22, The Guest of Honor.
Minutes after